God's word for our consideration this evening is to strengthen our faith and to guide us and nourish us. It's from the gospel lesson. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I want you to concentrate on that one verse, because John is proclaimed or defined or typified by a number of people. One great church father called John the great forerunner of the morn. To the 19th century sculptor Rodin, he is the persecutor, the one that goes before Jesus, anyway. Well, whatever, he goes before Jesus. There. But you know something, when you really think about John, when John comes before the people and he's screaming, repent and be forgiven of your sins, he's coming in to spoil the party. He's coming in the middle of Advent as people are preparing for Christmas in just a few short weeks. This is what day? The 11th. So in 14 days, it's Christ's birthday. 13 days, it's Christmas Eve. Here, John comes in the middle, and he spoils the whole thing. He spoils the party, because this guy, you remember, he's dressed like a mountain man. He's got long hair. He's got long beard. He's eating wild. He's eating locusts and wild honey. He's eating all this sort of stuff. Not very fancy food. Not those little roll-ups that you see on a platter. Not these little cookies. Last weekend, Karen and I went on a tour of homes in Lake City. Lake City of the Arts was sponsoring a tour of 5 different homes, and we went to them. And each one was special. Each one had it all decorated. You could see in each one the joyous part of the year. And in each one, they had something to eat. Each one was fancy cookies or muffins or bars, anything that I could eat. And Karen would say, no, you can't have that. No, you can't have that, but I can have that now. But here's this festive tour of homes that we went. I was standing there thinking, what would people think if John the Baptist stood here and said, repent, the end of the world is near. The kingdom of God is come. What would people think? He's come to spoil the party. He's come to wreck everything. Everything that was planned. Everything that is going on. But yet, when you really pay attention to John the Baptist, he's calling upon us to take a spiritual inventory of our lives. You know, if you take a spiritual inventory of your life, you're not going to measure very high. God has a standard. You know, it's a high standard. In Matthew, Jesus says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God is calling us to be that. But we know we can't. And the reason why we can is because we're sinners. Because we sin in thought, word, and deed. We turn away from God. We turn away from God in our darkest moments. We turn away from God at the joyous times. We turn away from God all the time when it suits us. And here John is calling us to take an inventory of that spiritual life, to know where we're at, and to repent of our sins, to turn to God and ask for forgiveness, to turn to Him when we argue between one another, as you've argued between each other. Each of you and
Well, you've argued with your wife too.
And you did have to. The finger points to all of us, and I'm pointing it back at myself too. John has come to take an inventory of that sin. The sin that we have committed against one another, against our children, our grandchildren, but also to seek that repentance, to know that we have repentance and we have forgiveness of our sins, not in ourselves, not in what we do, not in any kind of work we do, but in Jesus Christ. And here's the importance that John has, because he's being a precursor. He's being one in front of, and he says, I baptize you with water, but one who is mightier than I, and some other translations and some other gospels it says, I can't even untie his sandals. And he's coming. And he is the one who will forgive you all your sins. And see, John wants us to know that. John wants us to know that he doesn't take away our sins. John wants us to know that we can't take away our sins, but Jesus can. So our posture in Advent needs to be with heads bowed, even kneeling and praying. The church that I grew up in, St. Paul's Episcopal Church, had kneelers. And Karen kind of joked one time about those kneelers. She says, it's almost like you sit and you get up and you're kneeling, you're sitting, and you're standing. You're kneeling, you're sitting, and you're standing. You don't know what you're doing. But when you're kneeling, you're prostrating yourself. You're in humbleness before the Lord all night. And you're asking that Lord to forgive you all your sins. To cleanse your life. That's the posture that we need to have during this Advent season. It's one of kneeling and humbleness. One of knowing that when we see an image of Christ, when we see the babe of Bethlehem, we know that that is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who was crucified on the cross for us, the one who was pierced, the one who died, but yet the one who rose again to give us life everlasting and forgiveness of sins, to turn our life around. We use this illustration so much because it's so meaningful. I fell away from the church. I didn't want to have anything to do with the church. Maybe that was because John left. My hope or my image that I was going to be a minister in the Episcopal Church. John was going to help me along, and he left, and it hurt me. And I left the church because of that. That was the wrong reason. But I left. And when the new rector came and he visited with me, he wanted me to come back to church, and I just pushed him away, even though his son was a classmate of mine. And yet, God saw that there was some kind of merit in me, but he sent someone to bring me back to him. And of course, that's Karen. She said God was important in her life, and that if we were going to get married, then I was going to go to church with her. I said, okay, fine, no problem. God works in miracles. He works in mysteries. God is a mysterious God, yet God is a loving God. And he comes into each of our lives when we take this spiritual inventory and know that we need to turn to him for forgiveness. He is there to forgive us. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed my your sins from me. He says to the prophet Jeremiah, I will forgive your sins and remember them no more. So God wipes them away out of his memory completely. So as we take this spiritual inventory and find that we are sinners in thought, word, and deed, we see we have a merciful God and we have a gracious God. And this is all in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, the one that we worship, the one that we come on bended knee to, the one that we prepare for, that we prepare our hearts and our minds and our lives to receive the babe of Bethlehem, to receive Jesus as our King. And as we receive him and are forgiven, we are empowered as new children of God, Christ. Because as we are forgiven, God tells us we are his instruments. He tells us that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past, the old and new is come. And he says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. So as we take a spiritual inventory and we check it off, you know, we're not like Santa Claus that you know, checks it off to see if we're naughty or nice. We're naughty. But we also know that we're nice. We're nice in Jesus. We're nice because of Jesus. And we reach out to others because of Jesus. Just the other day when we had that snowfall, you know, I think it was Monday. Yeah. And so after some, or the, it got a little lighter out, I went up and I started snow blowing. And I have this habit of snow blowing my neighbor's cat to the right, and I just move up. And 2 doors down, another family was out shoveling. We met in the middle. They were using the hand shovel, and I was using my little snow thrower. It's a snow thrower. And so we met in the middle, and we both smiled at each other. And across the street was another neighbor who was doing all his neighbors. I don't say that to get a pat on the back. I say that because that's my fun. That's my joy. I do it because God has given me the power to do it. I do it because I care for people. I do it because I want to show God's love to another person. 1 year while I was doing it, I had a woman run out from the end of the house. She wanted to give me a 20. I said, no, you take it back. I couldn't get it back. So I put it and used it for gas. She told me to use it for gas. Because I went all the way down the end. I was just having my time. God works in us to touch other people's lives. God uses us to touch other people's lives. Even when we're sinners, he has washed that sin free, washed it from us through Jesus, has empowered us to share his love with others. In Christ only. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.